At 4:39, I welcome into the studio Graham Shapiro. He's from Shapiro Advisory. And we're talking about whistleblowers. Graham, it's a very difficult conversation.
Well, I think it is. I mean, it's very much in the news, and it's quite a sensitive topic in that, you know, whistleblowers. You know, you were mentioning earlier. I was listening on the way here. Mm. You know, what is their motivation for doing it? Are they sometimes maybe self-motivated, or are they really doing something for the greater good?
Right. So I think we can divide whistleblowers into political and economic, I guess, because you've got, and I was doing some research on whistleblowers a little bit earlier today, and there's a lot of famous ones, Snowden being one of them. We've got all the leaked documents. We've got somebody perhaps on a Navy vessel where there's been some kind of a sexual discrimination, and somebody's come back to shore and blown the whistle, so to speak. So we've got situations where people haven't been involved in something like that, but still feel a moral duty to speak out. We've got situations like Snowden where perhaps he gets access to information that he shouldn't have and releases it because he feels whether he does or doesn't. And of course, we never really know people's ultimate motivations. Is it about fame and fortune, or is it about the fact that he really wants to do good? We don't really know. But then you've also got a situation where people are working for a company and they see something going on that they are not comfortable with. Maybe they've addressed it from within the company, maybe they haven't, and maybe they've even been part of that scenario. And for whatever reason, again, which we can't always know, they then decide to speak out against it. And that's really what we're seeing a lot of happening in South Africa and currently within a business environment.
Well, yeah, I mean, as you said, you know, there's many different sides to whistleblowing, and you've touched on a lot there. And I think one of the things that you can point out when seeing what somebody's motivation is, what do they have to gain, to gain by blowing the whistle or leaking out all this information, and what do they have to lose also? You know, you mentioned Edward Snowden.
Mm.
You know, taking on the US government is not for sissies.
Mm.
And, you know, in that case, it's still, you know, I think he's been living in the Ecuadorian embassy for about a year.
Yeah. No, so, way more.
Longer than that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it's been like 36 years. No, I made that up. Completely made up that number. But I do know that Sasha is going to be Googling it as we speak.
But like you, Sasha?
She is.
But you know, like you say, you know, maybe people get hold of sensitive information that they want to leak. You know, for example, WikiLeaks also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just are a repository for all information that people want to leak about anything, everything and everything. So that's more of a sensation.
But hold on. Aren't we talking about two different things? Are leaked documents, for example, we've seen the Gupta leaked documents, and I think those have been absolutely vital for South Africans to understand really what's gone on in this dubious world of the Guptas and the politicians associated with them. So that's kind of different to somebody that's working for a company that steps out of the company and suddenly says, well, I don't like what I saw, and this was it.
Yeah, no, for sure. You're right to get us back on track and just keep us on topic there. You know, once people are in a company, you know, they could have two or three different ways to motivate their whistleblowing. Obviously, you know, you've said they see something that they don't like. You know, were they maybe involved and they don't want to get caught, so they want to be the first person to speak out, which after investigation they'll probably be found to be complicit anyway. Maybe they don't like the person who they sort of telling on, or maybe they actually just want to see the right thing done. You know, and I think, you know, one of the examples we seen of that lately, I mean, this was an interview that I that I heard recently. It was, you know, there's this famous whistleblower of Trillion who has come out. Her name's Bianca Goodson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she worked for Trillion for a short amount of time, and she was actually meant to present all her findings in front of Parliament. She resigned from Trillion, I think, 3 years ago. She's moved on, but she hasn't had her case heard. She's really got nothing, you know, there's nothing in it, was nothing in it for her anymore, but I think it was bothering her so much so that she actually came out public with it, I think 2 weeks ago. She came out with her, with a full affidavit of what she was going to present to Parliament. And what's interesting about that also is I recently heard an interview, if I can pronounce her name properly, she's the CEO of Signia Asset Management, Marta Wiesechka or something, somewhere along the lines. Maybe Sasha can help me with the pronunciation.
She's normally quite good at the pronunciation. Before you carry on, Sasha, how long has Snowden been living in the embassy?
He's actually living in Russia.
Oh, did he move
in Moscow?
You know, he doesn't write. He doesn't.
How's about that?
Doesn't even keep us updated. Yeah.
And he was granted asylum in 2013 in June, and he has been allowed to stay until 2020.
Oh, well, there we go. Okay. Very nice. So, you know, he doesn't keep. So the whole world information he leaks, but his own he doesn't tell us.
Exactly.
You know, I'm actually so offended.
He doesn't update on Facebook.
He hasn't heard from the guy.
No Snapchats.
Right, sorry, carry on, no crap.
There was an interview with her with Bruce Whitfield, your competitor, and she was speaking about this issue because she had actually about a week ago hired Bianca Goodson.
Right.
Now, in between this, she was working for Sage Payroll.
Right.
And she came forward to them and basically said to them she understands that there might be a reputational risk for them. If she goes public with her affidavit, must she resign effectively? And they said, yes, thank you, we accept your resignation.
That's interesting.
What
is interesting is I've asked a few friends anecdotally, and it's hardly a survey of any great magnitude. But I asked friends who run businesses, and obviously I'm not going to mention names, would you hire somebody who's known to have been a whistleblower? And across the board, aside from one, actually, now that I think of it, everybody said no, they wouldn't.
Really?
For various reasons. I said, well, what would the reason be? Somebody said, it was interesting. Somebody said, she's now become a very famous person. I don't need somebody like that open to scrutiny at my firm. I don't want to be pulled in to that. I mean, there were various reasons. Some I thought were interesting. Some was just fearful. But it was interesting that most of the people that I asked what their view was would be a little nervous to hire somebody like that.
So Sage actually did hire her knowing that there was full disclosure there. And it was interesting because, Marta Wiesechka came forward and she was actually very, very sort of, critical about Sage, saying that's not the honorable way to treat an employee. You know, they should have backed her. They should have been behind her in this. And, you know, that almost just shows, you know, a bit of spinelessness from them.
Yeah, interesting.
And
Graham, I'm just going to put you on hold for 1 second.
Newsflash, you need to know this right now.
All right, so it's a bit of an update on the storm. News 24 are reporting huge storm has hit Johannesburg. Residents of Johannesburg have been warned to brace themselves for heavy rainfall and hail, and that has already led to flooding. According to the South African Weather Service, there's an intense cut-off low system. I thought that was a kind of genes. With maybe something different, is expected to affect the eastern parts of the Western Cape, and that's coming through to Johannesburg. It's issued a warning for road flooding in Johannesburg, Sandton, and all surrounding areas due to the storm's heavy rainfall. This afternoon, the South African Weather Service has observed a severe thunderstorm over the Magaliesberg, and that's moving over Randfontein and Krugersdorp area with damaging winds, large hail, and heavy downpour. downpours. The storm was heading towards Soweto and Johannesburg CBD areas, and that was updated just a few moments ago. Where we are, I believe that the storm has passed us, but we're just going to keep an eye to see if it continues. In the meantime, we're seeing tremendous amount of photos of significant damage across Johannesburg. Please let us know how you are doing and what is happening. Time is 4:49. I'm chatting with Graham Shapiro, and we are talking about whistleblowers.
So, you know, another interesting point that was brought up there was, you know, she was saying that, you know, the corporates should be standing up for people who want to whistleblow. You know, I don't know if you know this, but we've actually got something called a Protected Disclosures Act, which actually outlines
what's it called?
Protected Disclosures Act.
Oh, could it come up with a more boring name?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or name me one act with an exciting name.
No, that is true. WhatsApp from a listener saying Melville and Fordsburg both been severely hit by hail. Road flooding is severe.
So, you know, and one of the things that they point out there, I mean, I had a brief look at it. I didn't bore myself with the entire act. But it's really a framework for how to make a whistleblowing policy in a company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's encouraging it, obviously, calling it a risk management process. It's saying if you have whistleblowers and it works effectively and people within your organization are not afraid to come forward and point out things which they don't like or which they see wrong, it can actually help the company in the long run in that it helps them to catch things early. You know, and it doesn't.
I just wonder if it doesn't sow some form of distrust amongst employees in a company.
So, funny enough, in the act, they also point out why people won't whistleblow. And those are one of the reasons is they feel that they probably have their jobs to lose.
Mm.
They feel that their colleagues won't respect them.
I mean, I wonder what the stats are. How often a person can be a whistleblower and stay in a company?
Well, most times they're anonymous. Most companies have anonymous whistleblowing or fraud hotlines or things like that you can, although, you know, one wonders how you actually do it.
Introduce that in the studio. So for Sasha and for Hilton, we're not going to tell. They can do it anonymously, but we can have like a little box where we can put things in and we can whistleblow.
It will be Sasha or Hilton.
I know, we're never going to know who. I'm liking the site.
I won't dot my I's.
And just don't sign it Hilton with a Y.
Right.
Otherwise, it's a giveaway. Right.
So is it, you know, I mean, you also, you know, you touch on some good points there. It's challenging, and it is a very challenging thing for employees to do.
Doesn't it bother you that people go sometimes from participating in something that might not be 100% kosher to becoming the evangelist for honesty and truth? It always makes me a bit skeptical because the reality is this, and the case that we're talking about here, and what's her name again?
Magda.
Bianca Goodson. Bianca Goodson worked for a company that is under severe scrutiny, the Trillion situation. Did she know what was going on or what she has alleged? What appealed to her about the company when she joined? Did she really believe it was a utopian environment? Was there something that drew her in? Oh, and just so you know, the hail is coming down severely in this area. Please, please, please be very, very careful. If you are driving, just get under a bridge if you possibly can. It's significant, the storm weather that we are seeing just outside the studio. So my question I just question, and I'm always concerned about people's motives, and I'm not saying she's not 100% above board and beyond scrutiny, but none of us are really. We live in a very imperfect world, and we're imperfect people. So it's always a question. It doesn't mean you don't believe what she's saying, but is there a level of skepticism that has to be leveled at a person who is a whistleblower, given that they were working in an environment. And of course, I made the distinction before. It's not a person who was working on a Navy a vessel and saw something going on, came ashore and reported it. It's somebody that might well have been part of a institution that has been accused of severe corruption.
For sure. So in her case, she only lasted 3 months there. She basically arrived and left as soon as, but as you say, you know, did she know what they were about before she joined? You know, is definitely a question. And I think it comes back to saying is what do people have to gain from doing this? You know, and you do have to, and I think you do have to scrutinize whistleblowers. I think if somebody comes forward with an accusation, you know, because they are alerting you to something, and then you've got to go back and do your homework about it. It's not to say that they will come and say, you know, they've seen this happening, and then it's okay, let's take action. Mm. It's almost like and the reason why it's called a whistleblower is it's if somebody blows a whistle, it's a warning. It's just you know, look here, just. Have a look at this going on here. And I think another important thing to note is also what's important from a whistleblowing point of view is if your company has a format of whistleblowing, you actually have to follow that format. You need to first follow your company procedures. You can't just go and take things to social media and start lambasting people and, you know, because that's
what's going on. Would you say, Graham, that it's advisable for most companies to have a process of whistleblowing? In other words, I'm running a company, I don't know, selling bar stools, and you know, I wouldn't have thought that I should within my environment, given that it's you know, I'm manufacturing them and selling them to shops and whatever. It's a pretty simple business, and I don't have any government contracts, unfortunately. But would a company, a simple, straightforward company, be expected, or would it be prudent to have a policy for whistleblowers?
So I think you also have to look at like you say, a small company, you know, is it even going to work? Or, you know, you've got to look at your workforce, how they actually work together.
Mm.
Are they is it the sort of workforce who will turn on each other? Or, you know, what will be the implications for them? Because you almost get the feeling that if somebody does say something, everyone will actually know who it was.
Well, in our, with our Hilton and such a thing, I think they would know, given that they're off air. But that's something completely different, right?
But yeah, so you've also got to think, what are you trying to achieve? What are you trying to achieve by it? Are you trying to have a well-run ethical company where everyone's doing the right thing and everybody's being honest? Obviously, that's what you want. But, you know, most employees will do minor infractions all the time. Mm. Most employees will lie about a sick day. Most employees will, you know what I mean? So you've got to also.
So if somebody sees another employee at the mall when they know that they've called in sick, I mean, are we expected to,
exactly. You know, so you don't want to go to those petty levels. Oh. You know, it's got to be things that are actually can affect your company in a very negative way. That's really what you really want. You want to avoid people in positions of power or having significant power over your company being able to have a very negative effect by doing the wrong thing. I mean, so a good example is, I mean, I did my articles at an auditing firm, not KPMG. You know, they had like an anonymous, and also within the accounting board.
I was just going to say within auditing, it's a very different story because your sole reason to exist in many cases, well, if you're an auditor, is to deal with compliance.
So, you know, part of becoming a CA and the route there, you actually sign a code of ethics.
Mm.
And part of that code of ethics is there's a whole structure of reporting people who you feel are doing the wrong thing. So, you know, it's almost keeping it in the, you know, you keep it in the family effectively. But there's a way of going about it. If you spot someone who's doing something questionable, you have to take it to your senior. If they do something about it, you know, you have to take it higher. And then eventually, if you feel really uncomfortable, then it's how do you feel about the situation? Should you resign or should you not resign? So it goes through all of those levels, but there are processes and procedures for whistleblowing, and it's got to be, you know, you said look at the person's motives. What are they actually trying to achieve through this whistleblowing? Are you trying to get your friend into trouble for taking a sick day?
Mm.
Who cares? What employee is going to care if this guy, you know, you worried about things negatively, the bigger picture really negatively affects.
And I guess that ultimately boils down to the ethos of the company, because I think that that any environment that is encouraging people to report other people for taking a sick day when they're not really sick is I think a company that is very much heading in the wrong direction.
It reminds me a bit about Australia, actually. They have a whole, people tell on their neighbours for parking over the line. And then they
you're making this up, really.
I'm not.
Is that why they call it a nanny state, as they do?
Exactly.
Wow, time is 4:59. That's Graham Shapiro. But Gimple the Fool saying, really sad to hear about the Jewish guys involved in Trillion. Indeed, that is the case. Graham Shapiro talking about whistleblowers and a complex subject here in South Africa, given the context of what we're seeing in the news. I thought it's an important conversation to have. Graham Shapiro, you have a fantastic hug, and we'll see you again next week.
And have a dry afternoon.
I have to tell you that you should see what Graham looks like. He came from a meeting, and the guy is not as dry as he used to be. It's 5 o'clock. Here's your news.